This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Writer Nelly Rosario is my guest in this portion of the program. In addition to being a writer, she's also an engineer. She received her BA in engineering from MIT. Then she enrolled at Columbia, where she earned an MFA in fiction writing. Today, she teaches writing at Columbia. Nelly Rosario was born in the Dominican Republic and raised in Brooklyn. Her first novel, Song of the Water Saints, is just out in paperback from Vintage Books. Song of the Water Saints is the story or stories of three generations of Dominican women. This is how the book is described on the back cover. This vibrant, provocative debut novel explores the dreams and struggles of three generations of Dominican women. Graciela, born on the outskirts of Santo Domingo at the turn of the century, is a headstrong adventuress who comes of age during the U.S. occupation. Too poor to travel beyond her imagination, she is frustrated by the monotony of her life, which erodes her love affairs and her relationship with Mercedes, her daughter. Mercedes, abandoned by Graciela at 13, turns to religion for solace, and after managing to keep a shop alive during the Trujillo dictatorship, emigrates to New York with her husband and granddaughter, Lila. Lila inherits her great-grandmother Graciela's passion-driven recklessness, but caught as she is between cultures, her freedom arrives with its own set of obligations and dangers. Nelly Rosario joins us this afternoon from Chicago, where tonight I understand she'll do a reading and signing at Barbara's Books on North Wells Street. That event set for 7:30 this evening. Nelly Rosario, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
I appreciate your interview. Thank you.
No problem. Reading your book led me to a desire to learn about the history of the Dominican Republic, and as you were raised in Brooklyn, I wonder if this was a history you had to research.
I actually did, but I do feel as if I spent my life researching it because I sort of lived that history in the flesh through my parents and just eavesdropping on conversations and hearing all these political arguments going on in my grandmother's house and not quite understanding who was being talked about or why or where all this passion came from.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, I was always a bookworm and I loved history, so I was always reading and sort of trying to understand what my context was.
Yeah.
And I sort of got the bird's eye view and having the sort of ground level view. And that's sort of what I wanted to bring together in the novel.
Yeah. The San Francisco Chronicle praised your novel, and their criticism included this: Nelly Rosario's debut novel stands out from recent Caribbean writing for its joyously profane wit and plain-spoken, unforced poetry. Rather than lionizing martyrs on whose bent backs oppression wipes its bloodied hands, Rosario celebrates willful, unruly Dominican women. And that's true, but at the same time, the brutality of colonialism in this book is searing. Were you hoping to accomplish a criticism of colonialism at the same time you were celebrating the women of the novel?
It was a mixture of things. I think that sometimes the process of writing was also my own way of resolving that question about what I'm of, what has brought me to where I am. I mean, you know, I was always saying to myself, what if, you know, Queen Isabella wouldn't have believed in Columbus? You know, what would I have been here? I mean, you can say that for anything, but just sort of connecting the dots and seeing where I fit into this whole history was part of the journey for me. And about colonialism and its critique and its, you know, I was working with it on a lot of different levels because I wanted to sort of make a sort of criticism, but at the same time, I wanted to also explore, which was a little dangerous, but I felt that I needed to be honest, was this whole question of how we sometimes are also complicit in that colonialization and sort of this whole concept of who do we see ourselves as in this whole mess, and what we contribute and what we draw from it.
Yeah.
So lots of levels, lots of thought, and I think for me the best and most real way of approaching it was really digging into the character, into Graciela, and, you know, understanding her in her vulnerability as well as in her strength, because that she has both of.
Yeah. The story begins there with Graciela and Silvio, beautiful young people living in a tough time and tough circumstances.
Unfortunately, history does not change.
Yeah, boy. Sex is quite a power in this novel. Talk with us, if you would, about how it affects these three generations of women.
Well, I was looking at the opportunities that were and are available to women, not only in Dominican Republic, but just even in this country or around the world, and how a lot of times sex is the currency in which women with which women deal, particularly if you are economically disadvantaged, or if you're not educated, or if there are just a lot of different factors that conspire to force a woman to have to find those avenues, whether it be at a small scale in terms of marriage, or the sex appeal or the act thereof. So, you know, I wanted to look at that too, because sexuality is something that is, in Dominican Republic, it's sort of, it's all over the, it's in your face, but it's not really talked about in honest terms and in real terms.
Kind of like here.
right. But for me, I had set them in that environment.
Yeah.
So I was also struggling with that for myself. The contradictions and unfortunately, you know, it's interesting to hear when people say this is such a sexy novel, and sometimes I'm wondering if they're referring to the language and the description, or are they referring to the situations? Because I don't pride myself in saying that they're wonderfully sexual situations. I mean, they're not really ideal.
It's a double-edged kind of sex.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Very much so. But it's you know, when the sex is good, it's pretty lush.
As well it should be.
Yes. Exactly.
And I think that your environment, I mean, I think that the climate dictates that. You know, your pores are open and it's warm and there's water and it's, so, you know, it's a honeymoon getaway, and there's a lot of that there too.
Yeah. Well, given that that sex surrounds us, or is so in the culture, but yet it can be a touchy topic, was it difficult for you to write about, or did you really enjoy writing about it?
Well, I actually did not enjoy writing some of it.
Yeah, well, some of it,
there was one section where every time I read it, reread it, edited it, and in whichever way I touched the text or dealt with it, you know, it was very emotional and very difficult. But again, I think that as a writer, you take all human experience and write about it in a way that's real and involves all five of the senses, which is sort of how I try to be part of an experience that I may not have experienced myself, you know. Mm. And I remember there was a high school student in the Bronx that had read the book and was very disturbed by one of the scenes, and had experienced it and did sort of verify that is the way it felt. And it was very strange for me, because I'd never been in that situation, but I sort of had an out-of-body experience and thought about it and said, if I were in this situation, this is what I would do. I would drift to the curtains or find a way to escape my body in order to deal with it. So it's pleasurable and it's painful, just like writing about any other part of the novel, whether it involves death or food or anything. You have to enter that space and imagine it.
Yeah.
And stay there long enough to render it on the page.
Yeah. And is that the approach that you take with your students at Columbia?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of, at Columbia, I think a lot of the students they're brilliant and they're wonderful, but they also have the sense that, you know, they sort of like the sense of formulaic learning, where, you know, you comply with the requirement to write a certain amount of pages and footnotes and all that. And the first thing I do is debunk that. And I think sometimes I walk into the classroom, they look at me like, this is our professor. You know, what's up with her? But I really try to get them to look at themselves and look at what it is that drives them, you know, what passions, if they have fetishes, if they have obsessions, what are they? And sort of approach it from there and have fun, you know, because that's the whole point. There needs to be a sort of personal interaction with the writing. And then I think you can move on to do other things. But I think that the emotional aspect, at least for me, is important because I believe that narrative is driven, is character-driven. And, you know, some people believe it's plot-driven, and there's this whole argument about that. But for me, that's how I enter a story is, you know, this is the character, where to now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I would agree with you. I think it's the people that keep us moving, moving through the story.
And that's the point of connection, I think, for me as a reader when I sit down with a text. Yeah. I have to feel the character.
Yeah. You're a writer fascinated with history, obviously. What inspired your interest in engineering? And while you were at MIT, were you writing?
I've always been writing.
Yeah.
I've been writing since I got a hold of pen and paper. Whether or not it was scribbles, but the point was just that connection with the paper and the pen and the whole, you know, stationery and the stickers and that whole thing. Just the idea of being able to make a world real for me was always interesting, and just how that's the way I traveled. I mean, I didn't have a lot of means growing up to be able to travel to all these places, and books were an entry point for me, and they were cheap and they were always in my house, which is something I credit my parents for. But in terms of writing and engineering and how it all connects, I just wanted to clarify, I am not an engineer, for the record.
Okay,
I studied the discipline, which I love very much. I'm not too crazy about it as a career for myself, but I think that engineering is one of those disciplines that you can carry with you anywhere in any other discipline. And I think like that of all disciplines, you know, they're not as discrete as we sort of like to think about them. And it's just an issue of problem solving. You know, you look at a problem and you figure out a way to solve it. You know, you use methodology, and that's sort of how I approach, you know, my writing. So for me, it helped a lot. And I was always, you know, I was just interested in math, interested in science, and, you know, it was a possible career move in terms of money. You know, your parents have that immigrant mindset of really moving forward financially in this country. So I just never felt the need to study writing, not because I thought I knew it all, but because I felt that that was something that would always be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that learning to write is bigger than being in an institution. It's sort of about life. You live, and that is the education for your work. So engineering was a great foundation for me in that sense, and I had a great time. I mean, I learned so much, and I spent a lot of time reading and I was writing when I wasn't supposed to. I had problem sets due, and I'd be up there just drafting a novel, you know, towards my last year or so.
Well,
it was quite a load.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure. Nellie Rosario has been my guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. Her first novel, Song of the Water Saints, just out in paperback from Vintage Books.